We shared together in our study of the Gospel of John that the crowd had gone from Bethsaida over to Capernaum by boat to find the Lord Jesus Christ. They found him. And in question number one, how did you get here? And he didn't answer that directly. He rebuked them because they were asking the wrong question and their pursuit of him was for the wrong reason. And thus he said, remember in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." So they were looking out for their stomach and not their soul. Now, he then went and said, "Labor not for the food, the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto eternal life, everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then we share that together. And so they were busy trying to maintain their survival and success in an earthly way. And all of it would require more food, more success, always, because you're always going to lose. Every day you do what you do to be healthy. And if you don't do it all over again, you'll be sick. If you don't eat, you'll die. Every day, you got to keep repeating the process just to make it. And thus, if that's what you're going to count your life that way, fill your stomach, have the right source, the right government, the right everything, then that's not going to work out. And they should labor for the food that doesn't perish, that gives everlasting life, a unique relationship to God. Now, that's what they're going to look. They need to do that. They're laboring for that, which they're trying to get here and now and not there and then. And they're losing out on there and then because they're so intent on here and now, they're losing out on tomorrow and the future. And thus, verse 28 comes the second question that we share together. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And they wanted to know what they should do. They didn't want to know what the work is. They want to know what they should do to be able to have the work, to do the work. Therefore, verse 29, Jesus answered that question and said unto them, "This is the work singular of God." The goal of the work, the purpose of the work, in order that the goal may be reached. Well, what is the goal of God's work? That you would believe. What does God want of you? To believe. That's what God wants. Simple. And we share together, this is the work of God, that we believe on him, in resting into him. In other words, going into the room. Think of the preposition, going into the room. And then sitting down. Into the room, sit down. Believe on him. In, down. Resting down. Now, so that's what the work of God, the purpose of God is to believe. What are you trying to do, God? Remember John 16:8, all of that. What is the sin? The Spirit of God is going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And of sin because what? They don't believe who I am. God, that's your work, right? To convict the world of the one thing that makes everything happen. Belief. You've got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, so having said that, and remember they're looking out for their stomach. And they got to believe. God said, if you believe, like I'm helping you, you believe who I am, what I am like, allow me to do what I do because what I have done on the cross, allow me to put this all together for you so you can fulfill the purpose the reason you are on planet Earth in the first place. It isn't to go to work. It isn't to have children. It isn't to eat, drink, and do everything. It's to know me. How do you know that? Because everything else I said that you know, that you could touch, taste, smell, no matter what you did, is all disappearing. If there's nothing going to stay, not one thing. What do you mean? Well, then my whole purpose, I lived so many years, what's the one thing? To know me. That's what I want. All the rest is going to disappear, perish. Now, so having said that, I thought it would be stimulating, I hope, to you. I'm going to do this. What didn't they remember? Here's this Jewish crowd. What didn't they remember? They didn't remember. Over, if you would, an exercise that will repeat what you just read, and they didn't remember. Over, if you would, please. And you read it in your scripture reading, Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And if I may, you need a little background. In Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 50, remember, Isaiah 53, the Christ is to be crucified. The benefit of his crucifixion is great, a wonderful future for Israel. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 55, when Israel has a wonderful future, all the nations of the world are blessed. Now, so Isaiah 54, a wonderful, wonderful future. And in the process, picking up if I can, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, great and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness, verse 14, shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear from terror, and for it will not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, the world isn't going to be happy, but be of good cheer. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth on the coals, in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. In other words, I have allowed all of this for weapons, for everything to all be created in the first place. I could have stopped it. I didn't. I allowed all the different weapons, etc., to exist. I allowed that. I allowed nations to develop those things. Now, but know this, Israel, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God said, you have a wonderful, wonderful future. Now, having said that part and getting that, then you go to chapter 55. Ho is a little particle of exclamation, encouragement. Ho, everyone, the little word everyone means the whole, all, everyone, excluding no one. Everyone, be encouraged. Everyone, be excited. I'm going to help you all, whoever you are. We have it. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall what? Be saved. Whosoever. Everyone, anyone, pay attention. What are we going to listen to? Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That's thirsty. Ho, everyone that's thirsty. Come ye to the waters. That's a command to come to the waters. and come to the waters. That's water, water life, physical life, spiritual life. Come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, there's the same verb, come, a command, come and buy and eat. Yea, come the third time, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come. Come, and in the process you're going to buy and you're going to eat. You're going to buy wine, and remember now, wine, that isn't to get drunk at all. It isn't to do that. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is what? Is raging. Not in that. Do you remember when we did in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, the first miracle the Lord did in recording for evidence of who he was? What was the one problem Israel had in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, Paul, and John? They had no joy. And remember the wedding, they had no wine, no way to be excited, no way for joy, no way for some special occasion. They had no joy. What did he do? He turned those pots full of the unfermented juice of the bestest of wine. He brought joy back. Joy, J-O-Y. Buy. Now, verse 1. Buy wine. Without money, without price. Joy which excites and stimulates. And milk. What are you going to do with milk? Well, it sustains and strengthens. You need milk for nourishment, etc. And you're going to come and buy and eat and come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're going to do all of that. And remember that the price has been paid. Price over Isaiah 53, verse 6. 53:6 on the coming of the Christ, the crucifixion. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore the sin of the world in his own body on the tree. Back over, if you would. In the light of that, he paid the price. We have a gift. We have it in Peter. You don't have to turn there. Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. How did you redeem us? With gold and silver? No. But by the precious blood of Christ. The price has been paid. It ends up being a gift. Now, and in the light of that, and then in verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not, it perishes. All the stuff you're doing to try to make your life come out all right, in the light of the government, in the light of the Roman Empire, in the light of the Jewish politic and power, in the light of everything, here you are, the people, common people, trying to make it survive, make it. And you're laboring. And all that you're doing, you're putting the emphasis in the wrong place to be able to succeed and overcome the environment in which you live in. Wherefore, verse 2, do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not, doesn't satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, forget your stomach, you ought to be looking at your heart and looking at your soul. And that's what the Lord said in John 6 and 27. He said, you're laboring for the wrong stuff. You're in the wrong target. Satisfy your soul and you'll be fine in your stomach. Now, in the light of that, so now the question is, buy without money, buy wine, buy without money, without price. Now the price has been paid. Well then, what are you asking then? No money, no price, but there is something, God. What are you telling? You did say something, you did. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, how are we going to pay? The only qualifying payment is thirst. You have to be thirsty. You have to be thirsty. It's a gift. I give it to you, and you have to be thirsty. And therefore, it's very, and you need it, what I'm going to give you, if you don't, you don't have any life. You're living in a state of death, spiritual death, and you're going to die physically. You aren't going to win. You aren't going to win no matter what you do. So you want to win. So therefore, you need to be ready to receive. Receive. You need to be thirsty. Thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. That's what you need to be. Now, having said that, thirsty, and remembering, you know all that, the stuff, H2O, water, and then you have the what is it, 70% of the earth is water. And then 70% of you, 50 to 70% of you, is nothing but water. So what we'll do is divide you into seven pots and cut off seven, whatever way you want to start, top to bottom, bottom to, cut off seven of them, and the three pots that are left, that's you. Silly illustration, but you get the point. Only 3%, 30% of you is material. The rest of you is water, plain water. You don't look like water. Some of you are all wet. Water, water, water. That's all you are. Water. 70% of you, up to 70%. Now, having said that, so now, what is thirst? Thirst is the sensation because you have a need, a lack of something. In this case, we're looking at water, a lack of water. Therefore, you're thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. And we have all the words that go with this thirst. You want to talk, what is thirst and how does it work? Well, thirst involves desire because thirst makes you desire. A thirst, you feel thirsty, you desire to satisfy your thirst, you have a longing, a craving, a desire to satisfy your thirst with something, by something, to make the thirst satisfied. That's what you're going to do. And so, thirst, all right? And keeping in mind now, so that as you think of thirst, what you're lacking is, thirst means you're lacking something that you desire, that you need. Now, so we absence, think of absence of hunger. If you aren't hungry, then you don't eat, you don't have a problem. When you go in a thirst, if you don't, well, I'll do it a different way. If you go in a restaurant, and here's the menu, like a Friendly's or something, with all the pictures, at least they used to have pictures, and pictures, you can look at all the pictures of the stuff, you know, on the menu, and you're going to desire, thirst, you're going to go hunt for, pursue, something on that menu. When you do, you're going to pick and choose something. You're going to exclude a whole lot. And you're going to pick something. True? Because you thirst for it. You excluded all of this to get this. Because you thirsted for it. Thirsted. Now, so do the same thing. Do the same thing if I can. Oh, in a restaurant. In a restaurant, we just mentioned. If you're going to go, and here's a television kind of thing, and here's the menu, here's the television programs, and ABC, and whatever is desired, longed for, looked for, you're going to go and choose that to the neglect of all the rest. True? Because you don't thirst for them. You picked what you thirsted for. That's what you did. And thus you have that in television, in whatever we do. So we have that. We're picking and choosing what we thirst for. When it comes to church, using church, it's what you thirst for. What do you want? Just to be here? What do you want? Thirst. When it comes to your Bible, Do you thirst for the Word of God? A question, that's a thirst. Do you thirst for God? God said, thirst is going to govern what you have. Not you can't buy, you can't, that's going to qualify you for all that I'm going to give you. And so if you want peace, how much do you want peace? If you're thirsting for it, you're going to go for it. But if you want thirsting for it, you can live the whole week without any peace from God. True? You don't need it at all. You don't thirst for it. You aren't hungry for it. And that's for pleasure, pleasure. People want pleasure, and they're looking for something to have pleasure, whatever they can find pleasure in, because they thirst for it. They're going to bypass a whole lot of stuff in order to have pleasure in something they thirst for. That's what they're going to do. You want power? Then they're going to go and thirst for that in whatever way, work, home, school. You're going to work for that, and you're going to thirst for it. Whatever you thirst for, that's what you're going to go for. And they're going to pursue it. Pursue it. You're going to pursue love. You're going to pursue love on your terms. What you love, whatever, love is going to satisfy you. And when you're satisfied, you don't thirst anymore. True? Once you're satisfied with a meal, you're done. You're satisfied with the truth, you're done. You're satisfied with something, and are done. You're all done. You're all done. No more. Because the thirst has been satisfied for the moment. Now, keep that in mind, if you would. Now, exercise. You got that. Israel didn't thirst for God. They didn't thirst for God's word. Here we're going to read it. We're reading it. You can't. There's no money. You can't buy. You have to be thirsty. Go with me, please, over a little exercise to see it. Over, if you would, please, to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And we'll try to make it so you can have a little sense of it, because that's the problem. You've got to thirst. What do you want to thirsty for? See? And we pursue what we're thirsty for. That's what we do. See? And God said, thirst will tell me where you're going to go. Where your treasure is what? There is your heart. I don't have to guess. No one else does either. See where they go. See what they value. See what they're after. You don't have to guess what's valuable to them. What's important to them? Wow. Chapter 17, remember they had got out of Egypt. And they had the Nile. They lived in the section of Goshen on the end of the Nile, the longest river in the world. And there they are with all the water, water, plenty of water, plenty of water, lots of water. And they have it. So they don't have a problem with thirst, water, physical thirst. They got plenty, plenty of water, as it were. Now, and in Egypt, the system supplies. The world system supplies what tries to satisfy by the water department and everybody else to satisfy the public, so the public is satisfied and not thirsty, etc. Now, in the light of that, Exodus 17, remember they go out into the wilderness, crossing the Red Sea. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses, why? And said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt, put God to the test? And verse 3, and the Lord, the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Where's the water? Now there's plenty of water in the Nile. There's no water out in the Sinai Desert. There's no water out there. You brought us out here where there's no water to thirst. No, you have to get educated. The water that's in the Nile, God sends that down from Africa all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. God does that. God does that. Now you need to know that God. Otherwise, all you're doing is drinking and going to die. So now, if I can, picking up in, so that's what they're going to do. So, and they were murmuring and murmuring and complaining. Over in Nehemiah chapter 9, they had to learn, but they weren't ready to learn. They were busy trying to satisfy their stomach. That's what they're trying to do. So Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah goes back in rehearsing their history, picking up, please, directly in verse 15, 9 and 15. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. So now, here they are, and giving them the land, and they, God, provided all the way for them, water and food, and God did that. So they were stomach and their thirst physically, they didn't have a problem that way, and they had to learn, starting at square one, that God provides the water. God knows what we need, and God knows you needed water, and God provided water. So the normal conditions of the land in Egypt, Egypt was satisfied for them, and now the normal conditions in the wilderness are satisfied by God and His Word. And when you come, keep going now, and mentally, and in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 1, and in those days, in the day of Samuel and that, the Word of the Lord was very precious. And the word precious means rare, like precious stones. Valued stones. God's word was very rare. You couldn't find it in the days of Samuel. Eli, do you know God's word? No, I don't know God's word. He's the high priest. Do you have God's word? No, we don't. What do you know? We don't have a relationship that produces the kind of understanding that we need. And therefore, in Jeremiah's little boy, the word of God was very rare, like finding a precious stone. Boy, is that hard to find. That's right, it was hard to find. Now, and they needed that. They needed that. Otherwise, they're just going for their stomach. So they got into the land of Canaan, and they were busy trying to satisfy their stomach. They didn't understand what God had done for them. And God gave them a land that was full of everything. Everything would be there. But you know, they got fat and full and fat and satisfied. They lost their thirst for God. You got the everything you need, thank you, and you walk away. You get everything you need and look up and say, God, thank you. The only reason I have what I have is because of you, and I thank you. And without you, God, my hands are empty. My heart's empty without you. I have it, but I don't have anything. Now, so in the light of that, over if you would to the book of Amos. You'll remember in the days Amos is living about 755 B.C., the northern kingdom hasn't gone into captivity yet, and the southern kingdom's going. So here's Amos speaking to Israel, the 10 tribes, etc., up there. And in the process of speaking to them, God sent him out, and God just took him like Elijah. He just took him. And you pick it up in verse 14, 7 and 14. And then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me, verse 15, as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So I'm there. So Amaziah, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Remember, Bethel's on the bottom part of the northern 10 tribes where they had golden calves. to worship. And it was their capital, as it were, for that kind of thing. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amoth has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to hear all his words. And thus, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land by the Assyrians. And Amaziah, seer, the prophet, go flee thee away into the land of Judah. Go south, bother them, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, that's our headquarters for idolatry, as it were, for it is the king's chapel, it is the king's court, it's where the northern king is, that's where they operate from in power. Over now, having said that, so now, verse 16, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord, thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. And of course, it's all going to happen. That's what you read in verse 17. They're going to go in, the end of verse 17, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. You're going to leave. You're going to leave. Guys, you're all over. It's all over. Now, having said that, you're ready to take a look at chapter 8. And chapter 8, remember now, is going to respond. Don't go away. Don't say anymore. All right. But you're going to be sorry, guys. Verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. So coming up in the tribulation, you are going to be sorry. You signed up with the wrong guy. Going to be sorry. Verse 10. And I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon thy loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning as of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. In other words, it's going to be very, very, very sad, troubling, lamenting, terrible times for you. And that's true. When it's the end of the, before the Assyrians come and after they come, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. No word from God. Religion up to your eyeballs, but no word from God. Only one God, only one Savior, and you have no idea what he says, what he's after. You don't know beans. And you're going to proceed down the corridor of time and perish in your approach. And are you ready for the other side? Are you ready for the other side? Are you ready? We don't even know. We don't know. But now, and famine of the word of God, that they're going to be thirsty. Now, why are they going to be thirsty? Yes, because as you come to the end of the age now, religion, Islam and all the rest of it, politics, materialism is wonderful to satisfy materially. But that doesn't satisfy the heart. So now, why would I go? I need more than that, material. I need some hope. I need some help. I need some sense of future security, surety, certainty. I need some sense. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to end up looking to a man called the Antichrist. We're going to end up looking to the man to somehow help us. Help us. Like they wanted the Lord to help them to be their king, to make their stomach and be controlled and give everything. Well, they're going to look, you know, John 5, they're going to look for another. They won't look for me, they'll look for another like me. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to sign up because they want some, because material isn't so good. You eat your food, you're all done. You're all done. No, there has to be more than that. And the world is busy. The young people, they got all these different fads and stuff, the new age and the old age and every age. You got all of this stuff out there. Everyone's trying to find this and trying to find that and test that. And in all kinds of ways. You know them more than I do. But they don't satisfy. But we're hungry. We're hungry. We need something. That's why Reformed theology, covenant theology, replacement theology. That's all of this. Why is it popular? Because we're trying to find something. And we try this and try that. And the systems develop and try to put something on the table to eat for the world. Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. So we want God, but not God. We want something, but we don't want you, God. We just want something, because we aren't satisfied. It isn't going to do the job for us. So I need something, God, but not you. And, 13, they're not going to find it. Verse 13, in that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst, and the young generation will have no answer. No answer. No word from God. Just think where we are. We're headed where the Bible is going to be obsolete, extinct for all practical purposes. And they want, but they don't have it. And God isn't going to give it. Back then, and the Assyrian captivity took place. Now, over if you would please. Oh, in the light of it all, God is going to do this, you know, in the future for Israel in a most wonderful way. God is going to do a wonderful thing for Israel, and he's going to say, I'm going to give you, well, hang on, I'll do it very quickly. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 43, just even to touch the subject. And in Isaiah 43, picking up, please, God's going to do a wonderful thing in the day when he sets up and restores Israel into their future. Chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. I did it. Do you remember Moses? Well, I'm going to do something more wonderful in that day for you. And verse 20, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, and because I gave waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, to my chosen. Chapter 44, verse 3. I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. I'm going to do something wonderful because you're thirsting for me. Now, putting that together quickly. Over if you would please. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Well, I'm even going to do before that. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. You know, all I'm going to do is just think of where we've been. Thirsty. You got to be thirsty. That qualifies you. Thirsty for what? Thirsty for who? You know, I'm thirsty for this, I'm thirsty for that. But are you? It's the wrong kind of thirst, because you're going to try to pursue the thirst and be satisfied if you can find it. And when you get satisfied, you're satisfied. We, like the church in Laodicea, we have enough. Thank you. Psalm 42. As the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. My soul is thirsting for God. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And I know I'm not interested in getting my stomach full. I'm interested in getting my heart right. And God, you're the only one that can put this all together for me. And God, I thirst for you. Isaiah 55, ho, everyone, without money, without price, thirst rightly. When you thirst for me, you will find I satisfy. I will give you what you thirst for. And you know, with all the other, without doing it all, if you want the wrong thing for the wrong reasons and you persist, I will satisfy and let you have it. I'll give you up to your own stupidity and you'll eat it. And you'll be satisfied. Now, thus, where is thy God? Well, our God is in the heavens doing whatever he pleases. So we're looking to God, and we're going to trust God, and God's going to have to help us. Now, so my soul thirsts to God, you're going to do it again for us. And verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God, Am I gonna be disappointed if I thirst for you? I thirst for you. I may have a lot of other thirst that never gets satisfied. But if I thirst for you, God, with all my heart, you'll satisfy it. I will. Psalm 63. Verse 1. O God, who art my God? Early will I seek thee. My soul, not my stomach, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm parched, dry, very dry, no water, very thirsty, parched. Ground. You get thirsty, get parched. If you have a plant, house plants, and you don't water them, assuming it's a plant that requires water, and you don't water it, week after week, month after month, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be parched. The drought, there's no water. Do you know with your heart, you say, well, we're going to feed our heart with the stomach. We're going to feed it. But if we're going to keep feeding our stomach and feeding it, we're going to end up, we can drink the water, and you can be in hospice and have your last drink and die. And you look like that. That's parched. Very dry and very dead. And God said, your emphasis is in the wrong place. And thus, Psalm 63, verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so have I, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, God, I'm looking for you to find you in my life, in my heart, in a most wonderful way. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and thy mouth shall pray, and with my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. God, you're not a disappointment. No, he's never a disappointment. And you're going to go for it. That's right. Going to go all the way. Going to go. God, I thirst for you. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied unless it's you. You have to satisfy my heart. I don't want anything else to satisfy my heart. Now, if it's any help to you, a long time ago, I stood looking out at the Pacific Ocean on Manhattan Beach on my apartment, looking out at the ocean. The sand down below. And I said, God, You have given me everything, everything ever, made everything possible for me. And nothing ever satisfied me. Only you, God, can satisfy me. And with tears in my eyes, I looked out in the ocean, and I knew. Ah, I knew. And I had it all. For little old me, I had everything I could ever ask for in every way, from engineering to position to, wow, health, power, wow. It was nothing. So what? So what? It doesn't compare with you, God. It doesn't compare. No way. Would you go with me over to Isaiah 55. I give you that. I don't often ever share that. It was just another step in my life, on my journey. Wow. And it was real. Super duper real. And I would have never had it, I told you. Some people are saved and get converted and grow because of hard things. I grew because God gave me everything and I didn't want any of it. I didn't want it. I just wanted you, God. That's all. That's all I wanted. See, everyone's reached different ways. What can I tell you? Now, so in Isaiah 55, God, they don't need to buy or sell, they need to be thirsty. Therefore, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Thirst, my soul thirsteth for you, God. God, I help us to do so. And to seek the Lord while he may be found. He may be found. That's right. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's the way it is. So if I go for the water, I need to drink it. You know, all the different things. Make believe you're in a restaurant, and you get all these different glasses. And here's the different things. And you have a glass of the water H2O. And here's all these different things. And do you know what? You make a choice, don't you, of what you want to drink. You do. And if you overchoose this, you neglect this. But choices, we make them. Thirsty, thirsty. God, help us to have a thirsty heart, to find the satisfaction, to find the refreshment, to find the wonderful rest and delight in having my thirst satisfied. Isn't it true if you are very thirsty and I give you a big glass of Poland springs water, purified in the middle of the island in the Atlantic Ocean, hidden island, special water. I give you that to drink, and you drink. Wouldn't your thirst be satisfied? If you drank the water, wouldn't you have your thirst satisfied? When it's satisfied, you say, listen, we're going to make sure you're satisfied. That's Christian water. You can have water. I'm going to flood you with water. Are you going to have your thirst quenched? Is there any reason it's not satisfied? None whatsoever. When you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's the rule. But you got a thirst. You won't seek me. You won't seek to drink this water if you're not thirsty. You won't do it. You have to be thirsty. And without it, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Seek me with all your heart. And by the way, my thoughts and my ways are higher than the heavens. And by the way, in the light of the weather, go down with me to verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, the water, the rain, the snow, all of that makes the wonderful produce possible from out of the earth. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Search for me with all your heart. You want my word? My word will do in your heart what my water does out there on that earth, if you let me. But you got a thirst. Oh, then you won't drink. You won't drink. Just when in out. You won't drink. You take it in. Take it in. All the way down. All the way down. Throat, esophagus. You got the idea? Our Father and God, we thank you a little bit. God, help us. God, the Israelites back then didn't pay attention to their history. Didn't pay attention that they were thirsting for the wrong thing. They were trying to survive in this world and losing out in the next one. And instead of striving, being thirsty to succeed tomorrow and thus enjoying success today because of tomorrow's hope, today's help, God, thank you very, very much for thy word, thy work, thy grace. God, thank you that we can thirst with all of our heart. And we will find and be satisfied. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that, your patience and patience.